Good morning. Welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast for the 11th of February, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller here today with the news, including what timely soybean planting is and why it's important, and which policy issues will dominate Indiana Ag in 2025. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has a very active and interesting forecast, and certainly that can't be good, can it? And the Monday ag markets were mixed. We'll have settlements, and John Zanker is here with market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Keystone Cooperative's equipment auction continues this February on Purple Wave. Bid on a 2015 John Deere R4038 applicator, fertilizer delivery trucks, and more farm-ready machinery. With no reserve online auctions, top quality equipment from Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan is just a click away. Visit purplewave.com today, your trusted farm auction solution. Purple Wave, where smart farmers find the perfect fit.
The difference between early planting and timely planting. And Hoosier Ag Today's Eric Pfeiffer talks ag policy on the Ag Bioscience Podcast. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, if you've heard Purdue Extension soybean specialist Sean Castile speak before, you've heard him talk often about timely soybean planting. But as Eric Pfeiffer helps clarify, that doesn't necessarily mean early soybean planting.
We definitely need to be thinking about it in the April period. We have soil temperatures that are marking around that 50-degree mark and looking to go up.
That is soybean Sean Castile explaining on the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast that there is a big difference between early planting and timely planting. The podcast is available now on the free Hoosier Ag Today mobile app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I know that there's plenty that push it a little bit even earlier than that or more suspect. But in those situations, we've got to make sure that we're getting the stand established. And so if we're going in April just because it's April and the seed bed is just open seed slots, you can live with it if you get timely rains. But if you don't, boy, that is just going to follow you all season long.
He says when he gets texts from farmers or other agronomists about their March planted beans, he often replies with something like,
"That's okay, my beans haven't lost their stand yet, they're still in the bag."
His counterpart at Ohio State is conducting research about early planted soybeans.
March is definitely early. April, it can be early, it can be timely, it depends on the field conditions, but she's got some March beans that were really, really struggling because of stand establishment, the cold temperatures, the frost freeze. I think stand establishment, it was crazy low in the, 40, 50,000, something like that. So I want a good stand. You got to have plants out there. Obviously, beans can branch and make up a lot of ground, but let's at least give them a fighting chance to get a fairly uniform stand and emergence.
You can hear more from Castile and Dan Cornquinn in the Purdue Crop Chat, available now at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Eric. As we go now from Eric Pfeiffer news reporter to Eric Pfeiffer podcast guest. Property tax reform and biofuel tax credits are among the hot topics that you'll hear during the latest episode of the Ag Bioscience Podcast, presented by Agrinovus Indiana and hosted by their CEO, Mitch Frazier. This week's special guest is, you guessed it, Hoosier Ag Today President Eric Pfeiffer.
It's going to be another tough year. Farmers are aware of that, and they're trying to figure out what can we do, how can we diversify, what can we do to get up over that mark.
And that's Pfeiffer, who says the number one piece of ag legislation this session at the Indiana State House deals with property tax reform.
This is the big thing. If you watched any of the gubernatorial debates, especially throughout the Republican primary and and now we're trying to get into it. Senate Bill 1 that's talking about property tax reform. But even now, when you look at State Representative Kendall Culp, who's put forward a bill that's talking about how they assess farmland value and trying to recalculate that formula. And it'd be too difficult for me to try to explain all the formulas and everything here, but ultimately, for farmers, 63%. That's what the assessed farmland value has gone up in just the past 3 years. That's the burden that farmers have taken on in the way of taxes. How are we supposed to hand down farms to the next generation when that's the burden being placed on this generation?
He adds that two bills, one in the Indiana House and the other in the state Senate, would provide a huge boost to the state's biofuels industry by offering tax credits to gas stations that offer more ethanol and biodiesel at the pump.
It would be a $15 million investment, but we're talking about returns back to farmers of $117 million annually. We could add $104 million to Indiana's annual GDP. We're talking about $11 million plus in savings to Indiana's consumers and fuel costs. There are so many things that we can do on these ag bills that aren't just related to farmers. They're huge wins for Indiana consumers as well.
You can check out the full Ag Bioscience podcast at agrinovusindiana.com, as well as our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Explore the trade show for organic farming products and services. Network with fellow organic farmers and get your certification questions answered. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast with a very active and very, very interesting weather forecast pattern to talk about this morning. We're leading things off with an active pattern coming across Arkansas and the Mid-Mississippi River Valley today. Most of you are like, why should I care? Well, here's why you care. This is part one of a two-part system, and guess what? Part two whacks the crap out of Indiana later this week. But part one is mostly a Kentucky-Tennessee deep south scenario here today. We're going to be seeing rain move through most of those areas. But the northern fringe of this little system is going to be working its way into southern tier counties of Indiana. I think from I-70 southward, we have to look for an increase in cloud cover here today. And then down in the southern tier counties near the river, rain or wet snow, both we can see coming through. I don't think we have much of a concern for ice, but it's always there when we're talking about warm air like what we're seeing over the southern United States clashing up against some cold air like we're seeing here. However, this warm air is not advancing north very much. So that's the reason why I don't think it is a big overrunning event and we don't see a lot of a freezing rain. But rain or wet snow, yep, we can see some of that through the afternoon and evening in southern Indiana. The rest of the state, clouds and maybe a little sunshine up north. The part two that we have to be concerned about, that is coming in later tomorrow. Clouds increase tomorrow morning and midday statewide. Precipitation starts to nose into western parts of the state by probably mid to late afternoon, and it continues overnight tomorrow night through Thursday early morning. Most of the state is going to be cold enough to see snow, especially in the north. Central and southern Indiana can start with some rain and then maybe have it change over to snow. In any case, low pressure is tracking right through the southern third It's a southeastern section of the state on its way through northwest Ohio and into the thumb of Michigan. That track is likely going to put some potential heavy snow down in Indiana. I look for it to be an absolute mess around here on Thursday morning. So we'll see how that goes, but that's going to be something to keep an eye on. I think if I'm going to take an early stab at snow totals, I think in northern Indiana we can see accumulations of several inches. Central and southern Indiana probably looking at anywhere from a tenth to three quarters of an inch of rain before everything changes to snow. Timing of this, again, is mostly during the evening and overnight, so that's when temperatures are falling off anyway. All right, we're done with that. We finally get into Thursday, midday and afternoon, probably seeing some sunshine trying to come back as high pressure is in here. Clouds break up very slowly, but Friday looks partly to mostly sunny, chilly, but sunny. And then we get into the weekend, the 15th and 16th. Yep, another round of moisture, rain and wet snow, both trying to come through Saturday the 15th. Sunday the 16th, though, chilly and drier. We get into the following week, President's Day the 17th, partly to mostly sunny with Arctic high pressure here. It's cold, and that leads to another round of warming at midweek with rain and wet snow coming back in the warm air surge. So we have systems coming through every couple of days with potential of rain and wet snow, followed by cold air, followed by warm air. It's just a vicious pattern. It means we're going to be quite moist, though, as we get it through the middle part of this month. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn up and beans finish flat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Farm Market Review. All those settlements on the way. We'll begin, though, with market commentary, which I secured at the end of the session from John Zanker. He's with Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette. Mixed markets on Monday to open up the week, but let's begin with the market that traded higher most of the session, John. That was corn futures, and the market did get a little help from a decent export inspections report. Also a flash sale of corn to Mexico. Anything else propping up that market?
I think there's still some concern that we're getting this safrinha crop in Brazil in late. I don't know if they made enough progress to bump that needle up much, but it was the slowest start of the past 7 years on planting. And, you know, as we've talked several times over the years, that hot and dry season in northern Brazil, you can just about set your clock to it. So if you plant that crop late, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be bumping up against some hot and dry weather about the time that corn should be pollinating. So that concern continues. There are some rains in Argentina projected that should cover most of their belt. But again, kind of out there in that extended forecast. So we're getting closer and closer to that, hey, show me. We're not impressed with these forecasts because a lot of them just haven't come to fruition. So definitely still some South American weather. That was 330,000 ton corn sale to Mexico for this marketing year. So, you know, I've been friendly to corn for several months now due to the demand picture. And certainly our crop being cut back here has made a big difference too. But I don't feel quite the same way about soybeans, as you know, Andy, and not a lot of that has changed this morning.
Yeah, soybeans really couldn't get much of a footing at all. Traded both sides of unchanged and ended about mixed. Weakness, though, in wheat futures throughout the day. Maybe to be expected after a nice run-up last week?
Well, I think so. And, you know, we're struggling to get any lasting weather concerns either here or in the Black Sea region. I think there's enough concern in the Black Sea region to keep some support. We've had a nice little bounce off the lows in wheat. We've got that July contract up above the $6 mark. So all things considered, a pretty good run-up. So we were ready for a correction, and we're certainly seeing one.
Well, you touched on weather in South America. Let's touch on tariffs and maybe tariff fears. Is that filtering around in the markets as we speak?
Well, it is. We're going to, we're seeing some steel and aluminum, 25% tariffs, almost certainly going to be levied, it appears. And that's going to be, I think, across the board. So that doesn't really have much of an impact on the corn and soybeans, but it's a reminder that that threat's still out there. I think that there may be more hope than not that will reach some sort of agreement with China. Maybe China can try to live up to the 2018 agreement, phase one, which to be bluntly honest, that's not going to happen. It's not even possible that those numbers could be met. And that would take a huge amount of soybean exports, a huge amount of corn, wheat, and numerous other commodities to get there. But if they did, at least on the surface, make a commitment, it would be supportive. But that's happening at a time where our soybeans are close to a dollar away from being competitive with Brazilian beans.
USDA supply and demand update noon Eastern time on Tuesday. Is there a chance that this normally rather quiet February report could be a bit bullish?
I think if there's a surprise, it would be to the friendly side. Will they drop the Argentine soybean crop more than they raise the Brazilian crop? I can see Brazil being raised up into that 171 million ton category or area. We've got some Safras Mercado. They've raised theirs to 174.9. That crop is growing. I don't think the USDA, who's notoriously slow at making those adjustments in South America, I don't think they'll go near that high, but I could see a 171, which would be about a million and a half to 2 million ton increase. I think they could drop the Brazilian bean crop by 2 to 3 million tons. Same thing with the corn, but unlike soybeans, I don't see an increase in Brazil being able to offset any loss in Argentina. So I think we just continue to see a market that looks more bullish on the surface, certainly for corn, than it does for soybeans.
Commentary from analyst John Zanker at Risk Management Commodities. John's number is 866-837-9027. Now the final numbers in the corn market. It was 4 cents higher for both the March and May contracts. March finishing at 491.5, May 504.5, July 3 cents up at 507.5. Unchanged for March and May beans, 1049.5 on the March, May finishing at 1065.5, and a half cent lower July contract, 1080.5. A small loss in the wheat futures, March down 3.25, 579.5. Meats mixed, April live cattle, 198.12, up $1.35. A little over a half dollar down on April lean hogs, 91.62, down 52. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.